Salama quickly became the spokesperson for the women of Medina. Muhammad's living arrangements, which had physically positioned his wife at the epicenter of the community, had given Muslim women a new vision of their role. Aisha and Hafsa were still young girls and were sometimes flighty and selfish, but Salama was a very different proposition. Shortly after her marriage, a deputation of women asked her why they were mentioned so rarely in the Quran. Salama brought their question to the Prophet, who, as usual, took time to reflect upon it seriously. A few days later, while she was combing her hair in her apartment, she heard Muhammad reciting a revolutionary new surah in the mosque. Men and women who have surrendered, believing men and believing women, obedient men and obedient women, truthful men and truthful women, enduring men and enduring women, men and women who give in charity, men who fast and women who fast, men and women who guard their private parts, men and women who remember God oft, for them God has prepared forgiveness and a mighty wage. In other words, there was to be complete sexual equality in Islam. Both men and women had the same duties and responsibilities. When the women heard these verses, they were determined to make this vision a concrete reality in their daily lives. God seemed to be on their side. Shortly afterwards, a whole surah was dedicated to women. Women were no longer to be bequeathed to male heirs as though they were camels or date palms. They could themselves inherit and compete with men for a share in an estate. No orphan girl should be married to her guardian against her will, as though she were simply a piece of movable property. As had been customary during the pre-Islamic period, women retained the power to initiate divorce proceedings, though the husband could refuse to comply. In Arabia, the groom traditionally presented a dowry to his bride, but in practice this gift had belonged to her family. Now the dowry was to be given directly to the woman as her inalienable property, and in the event of divorce, a man could not reclaim it, so her security was assured. Quranic legislation insisted that the individual was free and sovereign, and that also applied to women. In 7th century Arabia, this was a shocking innovation, and the men of the Ummah were furious. God was taking away their privileges. They were ready to fight for him to the death, but now he was demanding sacrifice in their personal lives. The Medinese were particularly incensed. Were they expected to divide their farms to give women a share? How, they asked, can one give the right of inheritance to women and children who do not work and do not earn their living? Are they now going to inherit just like men who have worked to earn that money? And was the Prophet seriously telling them that even an ugly girl could inherit a fortune? Yes, absolutely, replied Muhammad. Some tried to find a loophole in the legislation, but the women complained to Muhammad, and the Quran supported them.